Yes, it's that time of the week, and I'm joined by Sally Lucas. Hi, Sal.
Hi.
You're all over the place with the traffic?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, it just happened when I was coming down Donald Street, truck and two cars, and it's just a mess.
Right.
One car's almost half its size.
Oh, geez.
I'd say the truck's gone up the back of it. It's just concertinaed, and it's, yeah, so steer clear of that area.
Yes.
Just before the Georgetown lights coming into town.
Thank you very much. Well, on to other nicer things. We're talking about travel. Where are we going?
Well, I'm referring back to areas I've talked about before, which is Antarctica and the Arctic. And I think just talking about some of the differences and what you can expect to see and what type of vessel should you go on depending on your abilities, what activities you want, how active you are. And we've just had a travel colleague come back, and I still hark back to my time 20-odd years ago. She's a lot younger than me, and she's still come away blown away.
Mm.
Just could not believe it. Anyways, I just thought it was an apt time to talk about it again.
Okay, wonderful. Well, was there anything else?
Probably a little bit about Egypt as well.
Yes, excellent. All right, well, we'll get to that very shortly. This is Talking Travel, and Sally, we're talking about Antarctica today.
We are, and I just brought back to my memory how wonderful it was when I travelled there myself, and a colleague has been recently and a lot younger than me and just was blown away as much as I was back when I did it over 20 years ago. And I just thought it's nice to talk about it again, but also just to give people an idea, our listeners, the times, the seasons and what each season brings and the type of vessels you can travel on and the type of activities you may or may not wish to do. Mm-hmm. So I thought if we start with that. So your seasons, for example, spring you have 16 hours of daylight and that's sort of October, November. Summer you get 21 hours in December and 20 in January, so you don't get much sleep time.
No.
Unless you can sleep when it's light.
Or you bring a mask for your eyes.
Or you bring a mask. And summer is February as well. So December, January, February is summer, and that's when most of the voyages do go down, although they do start going down in November. And then March has been the latest you'd get down because it starts to ice over again. And your temperatures usually, if you went down, is like, it's not that cold. You might sound it when I say it, but like when we went, we didn't get below, I think we might have got to -5, but we still had temperatures like up to, from 4 up to 10. Mm. But you go for skiing, for example, in Whistler, the same year we were doing that, I had friends in Whistler skiing and their temperature was -20-something.
Yeah.
Right? So
-5 in Whistler is a heatwave.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. So and unless you've got the wind up, which we didn't, we only had one day where the wind was up and we couldn't go ashore in the Zodiacs, well, only half a day actually. So if it's still, and you're dressing accordingly, and of course the ship's at a constant, usually around 21, 22 degrees temperature, so when you get on board it's a comfortable temperature. So, yeah, it's just a matter of what you want to see then. So what are you going to see? I guess we've got to go through that, haven't
we? Yeah.
So if you went, for example, in the early time, like October, you're going to have your penguins courting at that time of the year. You're going to see obviously all your seals and everything's still pretty frozen and you'll see your seabirds. If you go in November, then they're starting to nest. So that's really interesting as well. And you see, again, all the usual seals, etc. By December, the chicks start hatching. This is when it starts getting interesting and you get your migrating whales coming in then. So you're going to start seeing more whales. Come January, then all the chicks will be out. These bundles of brown fluff, and you can't believe they turn into black and white penguins, and they hold them between their feet, and they waddle along with these little chicks, and they then hunk their whole body down and surround them, so you can't even see them to keep them warm.
It's the males that do that, isn't it?
The males guide the nest.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so they do that as well. So, well, they mainly do that, should I say. So come February again, you're still going to be seeing your chicks, but they'll be gradually, slowly starting to molt. And by March, they're probably just about all fully molted. So you can just, if you really want to see that, I think the chicks to me is just fantastic. And also into that summertime, you're going to see more migrating whales. So that is just to give you an idea of the seasons and when to go. To give you an idea of the sort of variety you see, you even see the blue whale. We did see one, which was just spectacular. The sperm whale, the minke whale, the humpback. Even occasionally the orca. Then you get all the different penguins. You get the macaroni penguins, and they're really funny. They've got these little funny little tufts of hair. You've got your king penguins, depending on where you are. They're mainly towards the Falkland Islands and Georgia. You get the king, as I said, the emperor, the rock hoppers, the royals. Then you get the Ross seals, the skuas, which are the naughty birds that are quite big and do come and down and try and get the eggs,
right,
and the young chicks when they're young, because they're quite a large brown bird. So we don't really like those. You get the Gentoo penguins, and then the chin strap, which actually has a black strap under its chin. That's obviously what's called chin strap. The Adelie penguins, which are quite cute and small. You get crab eater seals, leopard seals, which are those big nasty ones. Mm. The Weddell seals, which are mainly in the Weddell Sea, which is the sea off the Antarctic Peninsula. Southern elephant seals, Antarctic fur seals. You get your giant petrels, which are magnificent, and your wandering albatross. So everyone says, well, what are you going to do down there? It's you're just in nature's wonderland. You're in David Attenborough country. Mm. And there's no one iceberg the same colour, the same size, same shape. So everything changes. And I've got a photo at home, which is the antithesis of each other, these two photos. One was in the daytime, surrounded by ice and snow. It snowed. This was on Christmas Day. That night, everything cleared, and there's this shot of this bright orange sunset, and everyone thought I took it in Central Australia, and it's in the Antarctic. Wow. So the differences you're going to see are quite amazing.
So it's really a feast for your eyes.
Absolutely. And even as Mel, this girl I know, is at a colour, commented when she came back, there's nothing you can put into words that will adequately describe the Antarctic. And I said, no, and I've tried to tell that to people as well. You feel humbled. You're in awe, and you just think it's so pristine that, yes, we have to continue protecting it forever. You know, it's just one of the most wonderful experiences you'll ever do.
Right. Well, add that one to my bucket list. Thank you very much, Sally.
And you might get a second or third job to go with it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we'll continue with Talking Travel very shortly on 2NURFM.
I didn't quite get to, do I choose the right ship? You know, I think I just briefly should mention that you may not be aware that 500-plus passenger ships are not allowed to make landings in Antarctica. So if you go on a large ship, you're not going to be going ashore.
Right.
You might be able to see it, but, you know, so just remember that. We usually recommend that you go with under 200 passengers, a vessel that takes that, because you're all going to get off and on at the same time. They're not going to be delayed landings, if you know what I'm saying. So, and many ships offer early bird discounts, so it does pan to pay ahead, not just for the discount, but they actually do book out a long way ahead. So just keep that in mind. But sometimes there'll be some last-minute vacancies that they'll just pop out there just to fill the ship. So always just keep in touch with your travel agent or whatever. Activities, again, we should mention there's a variety of activities offered, like kayaking, camping, and you do a snow camp out one night, and photography, and some of them do climbing. And so there's all sorts of things depending on your level of activity. Not all ships, though, have the kayaking, that option. So if you want an active-based ship, again, you've got to do your research, talk to your travel agent. They'll find the ship that suits you. So just keep all that in mind when you're choosing. And, of course, cost comes into it as well. And there's a great variance in costs with some of these shipping companies. Obviously, your adventure expedition vessels are generally, as a rule of thumb, generally cheaper, whereas the more upmarket vessels, of course, have a much higher price. Mm-hmm. So that might help you decide too, from a price point of view. And then I thought we'd just briefly talk a little bit about the Arctic, because it is totally different. Of course, we do actually just don't have ice up in the Arctic. We do have, greenery. And the greenery is not in Greenland, but it's mainly on Iceland as well. Isn't that funny?
Okay. Yeah.
So Greenland is, but I mean, you have a bit of both. But you've got other animals up there. Of course, you've got the polar bears. I guess that's what they're most famous for. But not only that, you've got different bird life as well, all sorts of unusual bird life, from puffins to all sorts of that. So the areas you can do there is the Canadian Arctic. That's still considered part of the Arctic, which is one area you can do. And again, you've got thousands of islands in that area around there. And again, you've still got your polar bears. And honestly, you've got a rich history in seafaring exploration all around that Canadian Arctic area. And you can depart, obviously, from Canadian cities, or you can get, you know, charter flights to certain areas to pick those up. Spitsbergen, it's the only permanently inhabited island in Svalbard, and it's renowned from being home to more polar bears than people.
Really?
So there you go. So that's Spitsbergen for you. So you can cruise all through there and get the spectacle of the Northern Lights. Well, most of these places you can, obviously, at the right time of the year. And Long, it's a funny name, isn't it? Longyearbyen, which doesn't sound terribly Arctic sounding, but it was an American who was visiting there and exploring, and they named the capital city after him. So that's how it got its name. So Greenland is the world's largest island, and it's also happens to be the least populated by humans. It's got the largest ice cap on the planet, spectacular icebergs, breathtaking fjords, and wonderful, vibrant Nordic culture. And, of course, you're just going to either start usually in Longyearbyen or Reykjavik as well. And then, of course, you've got Iceland, which has got incredible fjords, jaw-dropping volcanoes, thermal springs. So it's a mix of everything, waterfalls, you name it. So they're different, Antarctic and the Arctic, but I'm sure you'll find one of them out there that will suit your tastes.
Sounds lovely.
And the other place that's becoming quite an up-and-coming destination, I guess it faded a little bit for a while, but I think with the opening of the wonderful new museum, the Grand Egyptian Museum, Egypt is really, really becoming quite popular. And it's so ancient when we think about the ancient civilizations. Egypt's up there with one of the most ancient civilizations that we can still see the remains of and explore, and especially being able to do a cruise down the Nile. And again, you don't have to do a luxury cruise. You could do it on a felucca if you want and go really basic.
Right.
You know, so you can do everything from adventure, even like Intrepid, even though Intrepid is known as an adventure-based company, they have from that lower echelon where you're just doing the basics, you can do an intermediate level and you can do a higher level. So they give you three options, which is a good opportunity. And I guess most people these days, if they go to Egypt, they want to include Jordan. So that's quite a popular combination to do Jordan, that one wonderful Petra, which everyone wants to see, and the Wadi Rum, and those wonderful chasms that you walk through to get to these wonderful city of Petra. So, and there's some lovely tours doing those combinations now. So, you know, get in early. There's some good discounts still out there. A lot of them finish like this weekend, but some do go through until March, particularly on some of these cruise options we've been talking about, and some of the tour options that we've mentioned into Egypt and so on there are. And so there's some limited vacancies still if you're thinking of the Arctic and the Antarctic towards the end of this year into early next year. And again, some of them have got solo discounts as well, so to keep that in mind for the solo travellers.
To NURFM on air, online and on your smartphone. This is Talking Travel with Sally Lucas, and we're looking at hot deals now.
We are, and seeing as we were talking about the Arctic and the Antarctic, I thought I'd mention there is a sale on at the moment that does cover those areas, as well as lots of other areas as well. Now, this is lots of packages. There's too many for me to mention, but some of them even include air from Australia. Now, that's a great thing because your airfares into South America to get you down to Ushuaia, you know, to start it via Buenos Aires, can be quite expensive. Mm. So being inclusive of air, and this is with Chimu Adventures, and Chimu does a lot of land-based adventure packages, but for the cruising side of things, they link into all sorts of different companies, you know what I mean? So they can offer you a budget cruise, an upmarket cruise. So they've got a range of vessels that they, you know, buy into, if you like, or buy an allotment so that they can offer you all that different range that we talked about. So whether it's, you know, from the minimum to the maximum, they cover the whole gamut. They also cover the South Georgia and the Falklands, so there's three-week itineraries doing that as well, and substantial itineraries all around the Arctic area that we mentioned into Canada, and then they do land tours into, you know, Peru and South America. So if you want to extend from your cruise in Antarctica, you can certainly do that as well. So it's wonderful. They've been operating into these areas for 20 years, so they're experienced. And I always like following someone who is experienced in these areas. You're much better. They've got the knowledge. They've got the guides. They've got all the, you know, the information that'll help you plan, and they're good at helping you plan. They do even circumnavigations like of Svalbard. They do under the Northern Lights, exploring Iceland and Greenland, Western Islands and Galapagos as well, even. As I said, Peru, the mountain lodges of Peru, including a trek. The Antarctic Peninsula we've mentioned, the Ultimate Peruvian Amazon Expedition. So, look, they've got a whole range, the Northwest Passage, just to name a few of what they cover. So until sold out, there's some good sale items there to be had if you're interested. Now, Viking always has a range of good options as well. And now they, again, cover all seven continents, five oceans and 21 rivers. So that's a pretty expansive lot of area that they cover. And they've got their Explorer sale on at the moment until sold out on a range of selected voyages where you can have up to $5,000 per couple, free flights and business class upgrades or cruise fare savings. Also, they've opened up their 2028 river cruises are open already. So that gives you plenty of time to save. I think that's great. Mm. Like if you know you can't afford to go next year, but I really want to go on 2028, you can at least book that now. And even if you're just paying it off or establish a little travel account and just putting so much away each week, before you know it, you're going to have that trip paid off.
And you've got something to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. And isn't that nice? Always to have something to look forward to. They've also got two new Mediterranean Ocean voyages that travel through the real gems of the Southern Mediterranean. It's a 15-day Italy, Africa and Iberia discovery and a 15-day Aegean and Mediterranean explorer that doesn't start till January 2028. They've all now got nine new ships, including their 100th vessel. So, wow, oh, wow. Mm. You know, there's companies out there that are still, as we mentioned last week, building ships and adding more ships to their fleets. Another really interesting itinerary that's just come out that's new, if you want something new, it's Turkey and Egypt in style. So we did mention Jordan, but this is a new one combining Turkey as well. So, you know, you can wander through Istanbul's vibrant bazaars, cruise the Bosphorus, lovely Turkish delights, go into the fairy-lit landscapes of Cappadocia, stay in a boutique cave hotel, all that sort of wonderful stuff. And then, of course, history unfolds itself in Egypt with the grand in grand style, as we said, with the pyramids, with everything you want to do, like Nile in luxury. They have expert Egyptologists travel you. Every time they Bunnings go into Europe, it's with a fully qualified Egyptologist. So that is always a good thing to know. And they've got, just to make it more tempting, they're offering $1,000 off per person. And this is a departure for next year, which goes from October this year through into March next year. They've got regular departures to do a Turkey-Egypt combination. So there's always something new happening, which is great. There's always a new combination, a new way of doing a destination. So I'm sure we'll all find much more to talk about in 2026.
I'm sure we will. Plenty of different options and things to do and more to my bucket list. So thank you very much, Sally.
Thanks, Amanda. It's been good.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks for Talking Travel.
You will.